Welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge with Sandra Sedgbeer on Vivid Life Radio. Sandra engages in thought-provoking conversations with the teachers, authors, scientists, and researchers working at the cutting edge where science and spirituality meet. If you're open to shifting your perceptions and expanding your awareness, pull up a chair and get ready to play in the field of possibilities. And here's Sandy.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and you're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. Are you tired of settling for crumbs of love, health, happiness, connection, or peace? When people talk about loving yourself unconditionally, do you ever think, yeah, well, that's easy for some people, but could life really ever be different for me? Well, according to my guest tonight, it doesn't matter how deep you feel your wounds are. There is a way to cut straight to the heart of your needs, desires, and dreams and uncover the keys to clarity, self-understanding, and transformation. Blake D. Bauer is a contemporary spiritual teacher, counselor, alternative medicine practitioner, and a speaker who spent years studying with spiritual teachers around the world. His best-selling book, You Were Not Born to Suffer, reveals that loving yourself unconditionally really is the key to healing yourself, fulfilling your life's purpose, and realizing your full potential, both personally and professionally. Blake Bauer, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me.
Blake, you were not born to suffer. Sounds like the sort of platitude that trips off people's lips when they want to make someone feel better. But for you, that title isn't a platitude, is it? Tell us why.
No, not at all. For me personally, it came from two very important places. And first, it was very personal. As a young man, after struggling with addictions to drugs and alcohol and being arrested a number of times, and also struggling with a very painful upbringing, I hit rock bottom and found myself very tortured psychologically and emotionally at the age of 18, and that set in motion a healing journey for me and also a very in-depth education and formal education in five different universities, as well as a very unconventional education with spiritual masters from all over the world. And that quest for me to liberate myself from my psychological and emotional torture came from this knowing in my heart when I was in so much pain as a young man that I didn't come here to suffer. There was a part of me that knew that there was more to life and that I could find a way to be very healthy and happy and at peace and respect myself when I looked in the mirror or when I went to bed at night. I could be at peace with myself and what I had done with the day. And then obviously, you know, our professional or our work life is also a very big part of that and how we pay the bills and put food on the table. And even in that respect, I always felt that I wasn't born to suffer even with my work life, and that there had to be something that I came here to do, which we call our life purpose. And I felt that I had some kind of purpose. I didn't know what that was, but I had this knowing that it was a very much aligned with who I am as a human being and not separate from that, not separate from my life, as opposed to just coming from fear and trying to put food on the table, believing that, you know, life is meant to be hard or that you can't enjoy making a living. And so that was the first place that it came for, was this just deep knowing in my heart when I was struggling very deeply in my mind, in my heart, and also trying to figure out the purpose of my life. And then over the years, I've worked with thousands of people in counseling and alternative medicine and life coaching, and I would find myself sitting there heart to heart, human being to human being, and say to the person, you know, we didn't come here to suffer. I didn't come here to suffer. You didn't come here to suffer. So, you know, it was a way that kind of cut through the moment into the pain that the person was going through and then created an opening to how we could explore, you know, why they were suffering the way they were, what the lesson was, you know, inherent in the suffering, so that we could then find practical ways in their life now in the present to move forward. And so that's really where the title came from. And it's interesting because I speak about the book and I promote the book all over the world, and have come in contact with thousands upon thousands of people that have walked by and read the title of the book or read it on a sign. And it's amazing because people will sometimes miss the word not, so they'll read "You Were Born to Suffer," almost like they don't have a template. We don't have a template for the phrase "You were not born to suffer." It's like a belief or a perspective that is so rare in the human condition. And so, you know, the more I watch people's reactions and the more I watch how the book helps people, the more inspired I am to continue to share, you know, the message with as many people as I can who are genuinely seeking help and seeking help, you know, from doctors, psychiatrists, and conventional religion, and they're not finding the solutions that they're looking for.
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. You said that people don't see that word "not." You know, NLP says that the brain does not register negative. So, you know, we skip over words like "not." But here's the thing. Your work centers on loving yourself unconditionally as a key to healing. Now, learning to love ourselves is another one of those phrases that's become something of a cliche. Tell us why it's so important and why it's so difficult.
Well, I think, firstly, our parents never learn how to love themselves, and thus they're struggling with their own health and their own happiness and their own relationships. A lot of times they don't know who they are, or why they're here, and they're just doing their best, if they're trying their best, to make ends meet, to try and find some peace. And so they can only teach us to love ourselves to the degree that they understand it. And most of our parents don't understand it. And then it's not something we learn at school, and it's not something we learn in our religious institutions. And then culturally, we're taught that loving yourself is selfish. And so we all have all these limiting beliefs around self-love or learning to love yourself unconditionally, where you have this really gentle, kind, compassionate, understanding relationship to yourself within your own thoughts and your own body, and then how you experience life and how you interpret those experiences. And so, but I think as we age, and maybe we have a family or we've had a career that, you know, we've burnt out in, or it wasn't 100% of our passion, we get to the point where we realize that, you know, we become resentful when we don't live with love for ourselves, and we don't honor ourselves, and we don't take good care of ourselves. And often, you know, you get to be, let's say, in your 40s or 50s, and you've had a family, and you've been meeting everybody's needs for all these years and pleasing everybody. And then, you know, you end up with cancer, and you think, how did I get here? Or, you know, you fall in love with somebody outside of your marriage, or your partner, your spouse falls in love with somebody else, and then someone's betrayed, and you think, wow, what was this all for? And unfortunately, and then from a place of non-judgment where it's just objective, the truth is that we're all just learning how to love ourselves day in and day out, because that's the key to being capable of loving others. And it's something that we don't learn, that we can only truly love another unconditionally to the degree that we love ourselves. And that's why for so many of us, the experience of love in intimate relationship and also in our families with our parents, children, siblings, partners is so painful, because it's an opportunity to heal all the stored pain inside of us from our childhood and from a life of being critical and hard and judgmental and from betraying ourselves. But we don't have the tools and we don't have the perspective. So, you know, our love relationships become hard and they become painful. And then we struggle to wake up and realize, you know what? I was compromising myself. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know anything about my emotions. I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what I wanted, let alone how to communicate it, let alone how to communicate it effectively. So, you know, it's a huge cultural limiting belief, and I actually believe the root cause of all human suffering, in fact. And I believe it's passed down from generation to generation, and the cycle continues. So that's part of my commitment and my passion, is to, you know, make sure I can help as many people who are truly wanting to break those cycles of unconsciousness and self-destructive living, to enjoy life, to actually enjoy the sun and fresh air and making love and connecting with other people from a place not so toxic and heavy, but from a place of love and kindness and joy and authenticity.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with spiritual teacher, counsellor, speaker, and alternative medicine practitioner, Blake D. Bauer, about his best-selling book, You Don't Have to Suffer. After the break, Blake will share some insights and transformational teachings from his book. We'll be back in a few moments, so do stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgbeer.com and discover what 30 years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do for you.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is international speaker, teacher, and author Blake D. Bauer. Blake, you talk about loving oneself. How does a person truly love themselves all of the time?
Sandy, I'm so glad that you brought that question up, because that was the one thing I didn't get to before the break, which is that a lot of people say that you should love yourself or tell you to love yourself, and everybody is encouraging people to do that today, especially therapists, healers, and a lot of books. But a lot of people don't outline how very clearly in a practical way, and that's really what your question speaks to, and it's so important. And so personally, because I struggled so much and I didn't love myself, and I really needed, not only wanted, but needed to understand it practically so I could personally create my life every day from a place of practical, unconditional love for myself. What I've discovered that means in essence is there's a few key points. One of them is an act based on my truth in every moment of every day. And what that means is that I'm in touch with what I'm feeling in the present moment in my body. I'm in touch with what I want, and I'm in touch with what I need to feel well, to honor my purpose in life, and to be honest and authentic in all of my interactions with people. And so I've actually discovered that the root cause of all depression and disease comes back to not loving ourselves. And to make that practical, it comes back to all the times in the past, since we were little children, that we have not spoken or acted based on our truth, and allowed our fear in the present to stop us. And then that stifles the flow of energy and blood in the body, which eventually leads to things like depression, and then lethargy and tiredness, and then to physical pain and to diseases like cancer and autoimmune. So the how is really to speak and act based on your truth in every moment of every day, even when you're scared, and then to learn how to do that with respect and kindness and nonviolence, which means you take responsibility for what you're feeling in the present. You say, I feel this, I need this, I want this, instead of pointing the finger and blaming and saying, you know, you're the reason I'm unhappy, or you're the reason that I'm sick. That is not going to get us anywhere. So the key is to speak and act based on our truth in every moment of every day. And I've actually found that that's the key to self-acceptance, self-confidence, and to forgiving yourself. Because basically all the pain from us hurting ourselves in the past or allowing ourselves to be hurt in the past is present right now. So when you speak your truth present moment and you act based on that truth. So you're totally aligned, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your emotions. And that's actually how you heal yourself, through loving yourself in that way. That actually forgives, that's how you forgive yourself for all the moments in the past that you haven't been able to find the courage or the strength to do it before, because when you're true to yourself in that way, you're not hurting yourself anymore. And the only way to heal is to heal in the present. It's actually a fascinating dynamic, that everything basically goes back to that. So we could talk a lot about self-acceptance and self-esteem and forgiveness, but if we want to distill the essence for the listener so it's practical, it's to look at your life right now and say, where is my fear holding me back? You know, where is my fear, where am I allowing my fear to make me a victim? You know, because it's really just our fear-based thoughts and emotions that keep us trapped from speaking and acting based on our truth and then creating a life that reflects who we really are, that's full of health and happiness.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we always focus on the things that we feel are wrong with us.
Yes.
You know, people may point out all of the good points, and we go, oh, yeah, but what about? And then we go straight back to the things that we don't like, that we don't feel comfortable about. Why do you think all the negatives linger so long and have so much power?
Well, I just hosted a retreat in Colorado, and we talked about this very thing. This is why affirmations for a lot of people don't work in the long term if you don't do the deeper work. Because basically, if you look in the mirror and you say, I love you, and you might feel good about it or you might not believe yourself, and then you go back to your marriage or your relationship or your job and you're not happy, but you're trapped in your fear and insecurity about being honest about the fact that you're not happy or satisfied, then what you're doing is you're betraying yourself and you're hurting yourself. And you've probably been betraying and hurting yourself since you were born. So, for example, a person who's been alive for 40 years and been awake for 16 hours a day for 40 years has been alive for 840 million moments, 840 million seconds, where you're feeling something and you're either true to what you feel or you're not, which means you're either betraying yourself or you're being true to yourself. And most of us have been betraying ourselves our whole life and been horrible to ourselves and critical to ourselves and judgmental to ourselves. So when you look in the mirror and you say, I love you, your initial response is, you know what? That's not true. You're a liar because I've been horrible to you. I'm supposed to be your best friend, but I'm really your worst enemy. So again, following on the last point, I have found that that's really where it all goes back to, because when we're not true to ourselves, either because we're scared or we don't know how, so this is objective, this is not about judgment or right or wrong, then we feel ashamed of ourselves and we criticize ourselves and we give ourselves a hard time because we know we're not being 100% honest about what we feel, want, and need. And when we were kids, we had to do that to survive. We had to compromise ourselves to survive. But most of the people listening to this are not children anymore, but are still reacting from those same childhood patterns of compromising ourselves or betraying ourselves for love, for financial security is a big one, for people not to judge us or for people's approval. So in my experience, that's really one of the biggest reasons that we criticize ourselves and don't feel good about ourselves is because we're lying. We don't realize that we're lying to ourselves, we're lying to others, and we're ashamed of it, and we feel guilty about it, but we don't have a context to heal it and get over it. And so we're all trapped in this, cycle of guilt and shame and insecurity because we're not understanding this underlying cause, which is that we never learned how to love ourselves and we were never given permission to love ourselves and do the things that make us feel well and make us feel happy. And so today as adults, we feel guilty about that. So the moral of the story is that, you know, for the listeners, you're the only one that can give yourself permission now to do the things that make you feel good, that make you feel healthy, happy, alive, appreciated, loved. And we've all been feeling guilty and ashamed that we want those things since we're children because our parents were struggling and they selfishly had us. And so they couldn't teach us what they didn't know, you know, and so we're all just repeating the same pattern.
Well, in a moment, I'd like you to give us one exercise at least to take away for how we can begin to get beyond that and start achieving peace and health and happiness. But first, I have another question. Why do you say that we create our ego as an act of self-love?
Yes, it's such an important question. I came to the conclusion eventually that personally I created my ego or the defensive aspect of my personality as a child in the same way that a caterpillar creates a cocoon to become a butterfly. Because in a lot of spiritual teachings and healing modalities, the ego is made wrong, or it's judged, or it's evil, or it's like a bad pet. But the truth is it's a part of us. And if we don't learn to love and accept and understand that part of us and really understand the logical context in which it was created and why it exists, there's always going to exist aspects of our body, our psyche, and our life that remain outside of our power to heal, because that's another part of us that we're making wrong. So personally, I found that I created my ego, that defensive aspect of my personality, to protect me from pain, because I was in an environment where I didn't feel safe and I needed to develop some form of control and feeling that I had control over my environment. So, you know, this is Blake, this is who he is, this is the clothes he wears, this is what I put on my wall, this is, you know, the music I listen to. And so that gives us this false sense of control over our environment when we feel very powerless with mom and dad often. And then what I found was that as I learned to love myself and heal the pain in my heart, which was a result of me not loving myself in the past and not knowing how to love myself in the past, the walls of my separate self and the walls of my ego identity started to come down, and I found that I was not reactive or defensive, all those things that we associated with the ego, because I was healing the underlying pain that the ego originally was created to protect me from. And as I unlocked deeper levels of love inside of myself and light inside of myself, just like it's the case for all of us who are healing and waking up, then I didn't need fear-based protection, which is what the ego is. It's fear-based protection, because when you're awake and you can say no, and you can say, I feel hurt, I feel angry, please don't speak to me like that, this is not what the type of relationship that I want in my life anymore, you don't need fear-based ego protection. You can use the truth of the light and the love that comes through your words and your actions when you take responsibility for your feelings and your healings through learning to love yourself and to value yourself and to be true to yourself. And that's a key distinction that I find is not made often enough in this world.
Before we bring the show to a close, Blake, can you give us an example of a powerful exercise that can help people really start turning this around for themselves?
Absolutely. So for everybody listening, I think the key I'm going to give a two-part key. The first part is breathing, because if you're not breathing deeply into your belly and your body, then you're in your head and you're thinking about the future and you're thinking about your past, and that's never going to help you fix whatever you feel you're not satisfied or happy with in your life. So the key is to breathe, and for me, I like to put the tongue on the roof of my mouth and breathe through my nose into my belly, because the deeper I breathe, the deeper I feel. The deeper I feel, the deeper I heal. The more I heal, the more I can inhale oxygen, which is life, and live my life more fully and authentically in the present moment now. So I would say breathing is the anchor for everybody all the time, and it will never change, because it doesn't matter how much you heal or how happy you are, you're always going to be tested every day. And the breath is always going to be the anchor to the present moment and to the source of truth and your power to create, you know, more of a life that you love. And then the second thing I would say is have a look at every relationship and situation in your life right now and ask yourself, is this relationship based on love and something I genuinely want and truth, or is it based on fear and am I compromising and betraying myself in this situation? And then when you identify the situations and the relationships where you know that you're betraying yourself and that your fear is driving the situation, you're allowing yourself to be a victim in this situation because of your fears, then I would say figure out what you feel. So I feel what in this relationship? I need what in this situation? I want what in this situation? And then say it in those words. I feel unhappy. I I am not in love with you anymore. I need a change. We need counseling. So say something like that. And that when you say it, even if you're scared, so it's not that the fear goes away, say it anyways, and that's the key to healing. Not that the fear goes away, but that you find the strength and the courage to be honest even when you're scared. And that will change everything, because that's the moment you stop betraying yourself and stop rejecting yourself, which is the root cause of every problem we've ever had in our life. So that's when you finally accept all of who you are, those parts of you that you are so afraid to acknowledge and be honest about. And then come back to your breath again, and then be honest. Come back to your breath again, and be honest, and keep that up. And that's really what guides my life. And it's not easy sometimes, but suffering and living a lie and living in fear, how hard is that? I think we all know how hard that is.
We certainly do, Blake. And on that note, we're going to have to end the show, but I think that's great advice. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Sandy, for having me.
You were not born to suffer. And Blake's website is unconditional-selflove.com. Beautifully said. And a young man that's worth watching. I think he's going places. Well, that brings us to the end of this show. For information about future guests, sign up for my newsletter at sedgebeer.com. Our theme tune is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to having your company at the same time till next week. Same time next week. And until then, you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge on Vivid Life Radio, helping you discover more of who you are so you can live more of the life you were born to live. Join us same time next week for another Conversation at the Cutting Edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.